And you have it tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming right up is The Recovery Zone. Stephanie Potter hosts a look at the continuing movement for single-payer health care insurance.
Connect with your favorite community radio station on social media.
Our Facebook page is facebook.com/kboomradio.
And follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/kboo.
We also have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kboo radio.
We also provide content to the free music archive.
An interactive library of high-quality legal audio downloads.
That's at freemusicarchive.org/curator/kboo.
You can find all this and more on the KBOO website, kboo.fm.
Thanks for listening.
Connect with your favorite community radio station on social media.
The KBOO Book and Record Sale is back. KBOO's annual book and record sale happens Saturday, September 28th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Not only will there be fabulous books, CDs, and vinyl to grab at ridiculously low prices, but it will also be a madcap fun community event. There will be KBOO DJs spinning live all day and baked goods available for a donation. All proceeds from the day benefits KBOO, your community radio station. It all happens at the Musicians Union at 325 Northeast 20th on Saturday, September 28th. That's 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. Questions? Contact Ani at volunteer@kboo.org. For more information, check out kboo.fm. The KBOO Book and Record Sale is back.
There are some women I'd like you to meet. Saba, a Palestinian raised in Jordan, put on the headscarf at age 14 against her father's advice. She was an elementary school teacher when she met her husband. And there's Zanira, born in India and raised in London. At age 21, she made the pilgrimage to Mecca with her father. She was so moved by the experience, she prayed to marry a really good man in white robes and a scarf, like she'd seen there. I'm Linda Olson Osterlund, and these are just two of the women I'd like you to meet. Tune in to A Deeper Look this Thursday, September 26th at 9:30 a.m., when my guest is Guardian reporter Victoria Brittain. She'll introduce us to Saba and Zanira, as well as others, in her book, Shadow Lives, The Forgotten Women of the War on Terror. That's this Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m., right here on KBOO.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 40532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW. And this program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Hopworks Urban Brewery, committed to creating world-class food and organic beer as sustainably as possible at their carbon-neutral Eco Brew Pubs. Hopworks is located at Southeast 29th and Powell Boulevard, and Hopworks Bike Bar is at North Williams and Shaver, available on draft and in bottles throughout Cascadia. Information at 503-232-HOPS or hopworksbeer.com.
Hi, you're tuned to KBOO Portland. I'm Stephanie Potter, and this is The Recovery Zone, a show focused on ways we can heal our world. Today's focus is on our healthcare system and how we can make it better. Even with Obama's Affordable Health Care Act about to take effect here in October, there are still many who have hope that someday we might have an even more inclusive system through a single-payer plan. My guests today are working to make that happen here in Oregon. In the studio here with me now are Michael M. Moore, President of Healthcare for All Oregon. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
And Dr. Lee Dolan, former chair of the Oregon Medical Association. Hi, Lee.
Hi.
And Katie Light, who can talk about the effect of single-payer systems on business. Okay, Katie. And I'd like to just get this started, because each of you are involved in this so passionately, with and maybe starting with you, Dr. Lee, how come this matters to you?
Well, I've come to the conclusion after many years of working as a doctor that the business model for healthcare, which is what we have now based on the insurance companies, doesn't work. It's colossally wasteful and it's immoral. The business model is based on competition, and the healthcare companies really don't compete to provide better healthcare as we would hope. They compete to make money. And I think the bottom line for taking care of patients should be caring for patients, not seeing how much money we can make off them.
That sounds good. And how about you, Michael?
I think the logic of why I'm involved is very similar to what Lee said. I think maybe the passion of why I'm involved comes from working for many years with people who are just are very poor, many people who are homeless or have experienced homelessness, and have just these devastating healthcare needs that are going unmet, and how difficult those things are how much of a barrier those things are to actually sort of improving their lives and you know, helping them get out of the situations that they're in.
So you were working with homeless people who just were getting sick, dying, whatever, and couldn't get any help at all.
Or if they could get help, the help was not anywhere near what adequate to their need.
What was called for. And how about you, Lee? I mean, Katie.
I got involved because I've been in small business pretty much my whole my adult life. The last 8 years I've been in real estate, and we're considered independent contractors, so we don't get benefits. We have to provide our own health care insurance. In the past, I worked for small companies where I didn't have insurance either. I had to provide it for myself. And it's a big problem throughout the nation and in Oregon, where small businesses just don't have the competitive edge. They can't afford to provide health insurance for their employees. And so I think having a universal health care would benefit everybody and bring business into the state.
Uh-huh. And I want to get to some of this later, like, you know, how Obamacare might make it different and stuff. But I one thing that I really was, like, into was how the Oregon Healthcare for All Oregon has just right there on its website, the idea that health care for everyone is a right. And could you talk about that, Michael?
Yeah, we sort of frame health care as a right by looking at what we think that a system needs to deliver. And we came up with six principles, that define the system. So one is the system needs to be transparent, meaning that everybody can see what's going on, can be aware of what decisions are being made and by whom. No, you know, backroom deal making or decision making. The system's accountable, so that's accountable both to patients and to taxpayers. The system is participatory, so that every patient should be an active participant in their own care.
Mm-hmm.
It's equitable, meaning that everybody gets the care that they need. It would be universal, which is probably the most basic concept, which is just everybody in and nobody left out. And overall, that healthcare would be treated as a public good, in some ways like a utility or a fire department or a police department or you know, an agency that delivers something that we all need.
Right.
I mean, we all need healthcare. And there's no reason why we need to segment it off according to ability to pay or other factors. So we think we define a system that would treat healthcare as a right as one that reflects those six principles.
Yeah, and it's basically it's hard to get that through. I know, like even right now in Congress, they're having these huge fights about even just Obamacare, and I'd like to get into that a little bit because. The idea, I mean, we're all speaking here like it's a right and everybody should have it. And the fact that people are so opposed even to something that's like, anyway, we'll get into that. but I want to get more into like what's again wrong with the current system. And Dr. Lee, could you get into that? Like it's very expensive, right? And
well, so here's an example. Let's say you're paying $1,000 a month for your healthcare premium. $200 of that right off the top goes directly to the insurance company because the insurance company has 20% overhead. What they do with that 20%, they pay for office space, they pay for inflated salaries of their executives, and they pay for advertising. The most outrageous example, probably most of us know about, ODS, which is now called Moda, spent $40 million of your healthcare premium to pay for the naming rights to the Rose Garden. Mm. So that money could have been spent for healthcare, but because of the system that we have where healthcare is a business, that money that people are paying for premiums was spent for the naming rights to the Rose Garden. The other thing is that, you know, as I said before, the bottom line for having the insurance companies involved is that they want to make money. They're not, their bottom line is not providing health care. So what they do over and over again to the doctor is they try and figure out how they can deny payment for health care. And in addition to the 20% off the top of that $1,000 a month, there's maybe another 10 to 20% that goes to the staff in the doctor's office that have to hassle with the insurance companies to get payment for the care that they provide. So all that is colossally wasteful, and it's also, of course, immoral because the money that people pay in premiums should be for health care. It should not be to keep the insurance companies rolling in money and putting their name up on the Rose Garden.
And another thing about health care, I was just reading, like, in the U.S., we pay, like, exorbitant rates for, like, a hip surgery compared to, like, European people. The whole corporate for-profit medical system that we have, we can't bargain down our prices at all the way things are working now?
Well, one of the reasons we can't bargain down the prices is the insurance. We have competing insurance companies, and nobody basically says to them, this is an outrageous price. If we had a single-payer insurance company, which means the government, they would set a fair price for services. So if somebody now has a, you know, let's say we're talking about the insurance company will pay $4,500 or $6,000 for hip surgery. The government, the single payer system could say, gee, the fair price is actually $2,000. That's what they're paying. And that's the end of it. So if we had one outfit negotiating with the insurance companies and also with the pharmaceutical companies for drug prices, we could get decent, fair prices rather than the inflated prices we have now.
Yeah, because they're really huge. I was surprised, like sometimes 5-10 times as much, you know.
One of the biggest problems with our current system is that it's so fragmented.
Right.
I mean, there's no internal logic to it. And the profit competition model has not worked to create efficiencies the way that a market is supposed to work. Instead, it's actually made delivery of healthcare less efficient.
Well, just as Dr. Lee was saying, we've got this top-heavy administration going on with all of it too. You know, right. What is it? Something like 8 times as many administrators as doctors, or something? Or I don't know. I read some crazy thing.
Well, for every hospital bed, there's 8 administrators.
Well, really?
And the other thing I want to say, I mean, this is the obvious point. What do we get in return for having the health insurance companies involved? In terms of a patient who needs health care, really the only conclusion is we get nothing. All that money that we spend to support the health insurance companies and their administrators and their advertising – How does that improve our healthcare? It doesn't improve it at all. It's all money down the drain for the patient. Really? Yes,
just extra money spent on extra administrative costs and advertising.
Right, and nothing to improve your healthcare.
Right. Although one of the things that you do hear is that, socialized medicine, single-payer medicine would infringe on doctors because they wouldn't be getting paid as much, and it would infringe on innovation and research. Do you guys have comments about how that would work?
Well, it isn't socialized medicine. Under a single-payer system, the government, there would be one insurance company instead of a whole bunch of others, and it would be one insurance company whose bottom line was providing health care, not making money. The doctors would still be the exact same setup they have now. But
they'd be paid pretty much how they're paid.
Yeah, they may. Now, it is possible that certain specialties, high-paying specialties, would make less, and maybe the primary care doctors would make more. Is that a real big deal for doctors? I mean, I'm a primary care doctor. I don't think so. And I think if an orthopedist right now is making $600,000 a year, and under a single payer system he only makes $450,000 a year,
he'll survive.
He'll survive, and my heart does not bleed for him.
Right. I want to let listeners know you listen to KBOO Portland here. This is the Recovery Zone. We're talking today about single-payer healthcare, and I have people here from Oregon Healthcare for All, Healthcare for All Oregon, who have a lot of information on why they think it's a good idea in spite of the fact that Obamacare is about to start. The Affordable Care Act will be happening here in Oregon with something called Cover Oregon. I want to get to Katie here, though, too. You were talking about businesses. Like, why would they be so especially helped by a single-payer system?
Well, especially small businesses. Oregon business owners know that the current private health industry coverage doesn't work for them. It's they can't pull together everybody to get the group plans that some of the bigger companies get. So they're paying very high premiums for themselves, or if they have employees, for their employees. So it's a huge percentage of small businesses that they want to, but they can't even provide healthcare for their people. So with a universal healthcare system, everybody's going to have it. So it's going to remove the business owners from the healthcare management business. They're not going to have to pay the providers, determine benefits. It takes that off their shoulders.
That's a huge lot of paperwork for them.
It's huge. So that would be a great relief for everybody. And it would keep the cost predictable. So they're going to know, employers would know beforehand what the costs are going to be. Since everybody gets health insurance, their employees, whether they're full or part-time, they're not going to have, with universal health care, they're not going to have the huge deductibles and co-pays. So they're going to seek health care help when they need it earlier, which means you're going to have healthier employers, happier, more productive employees, which means less sick time costs. But one thing I really especially like, besides those other important points, is universal health care for the small business creates a level playing field in that since everybody gets health care benefits, it keeps your productive employees from seeking employment with other companies that might offer insurance.
Like a big corporation.
Like
somewhere.
A big corporation. Yeah. So it makes a small business, you know, more competitive.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
that
sounds great. And it's like, actually, I could have used that. I actually, I'm just starting to get Medicare this month. I mean, it's just amazing. It's like I'm finally on a single player plan. And I love it because I was a part-time worker. I was getting paying $530 or $50 a month for my health insurance.
It's crazy.
It was just really, you know, breaking my back. It was incredible.
And so, it's become increasingly hard. Even for large employers, it's become increasingly difficult for them to pay the percentage of premiums that they were once paying, and also, you know, offer the same benefit that they used to offer. And that's not just because they're greedy. You know, it's because costs have gone up so much because our system is so fragmented and so irrational.
And as Katie said, I mean, even when they provide insurance coverage, there's often a high deductible.
Right.
So with a single payer, all that goes away. I mean, you basically show your card and everything's paid for.
Yeah, yeah. And even, yeah, I was paying deductibles and all of that, even with my huge, yeah, it's incredible.
Well, for small business owners, really they have three options. Hopefully they have a spouse that can get coverage through their employment, and that spouse might even be staying at that job just for the coverage for the family. Or they can only afford, because of the high premiums and copays, they can only afford catastrophic insurance. So they're still paying an exorbitant amount for their premiums, but they don't go to the doctor because they have these huge deductibles. So you have that scenario. Or I know a lot of contractors that just go without, and they're... their health care, you know, just don't get sick.
Right, right. I know people like that, too. Even people in their 50s, they're just not dealing with it, even though they're working. Yeah, yeah. It's a very messed up system, I believe. But we now have Cover Oregon coming in. So uh-huh. I was hoping maybe, Michael, you could talk a little about that, or one of you, to let me know. What's the deal with that? We're going to have more coverage than we have now, right?
We are going to have more coverage than we have now, which is the really positive thing about the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as it's often referred to.
If we get it. I mean, there are these.
Well, yeah.
Congress is fighting it still.
Yeah, yeah. But that's such a sideshow. the Medicare will be expanded to cover people up to 40% of the above the federal poverty level, and then for people over that, people who aren't currently getting insurance through their employers will have the opportunity to buy insurance through Cover Oregon, as you mentioned, which is a new exchange that's being created that's supposed to help consumers make a more rational decision about what kind of coverage they're buying, and help them get maybe coverage that's more appropriate to their needs. Right now, I mean, you know, Lee has already mentioned some of the huge problems we have right now, the lack of transparency and the lack of accountability in our current system, and the idea behind the exchange is that it will somewhat level the playing field, although the phrase lipstick on a pig comes to mind a little bit. I mean, it remains to be seen exactly how.
Well, there's still insurance companies involved with this.
Yeah.
And there's still, like, the collective bargaining isn't really what we want, or is there going to be more bargaining with the corporate hospitals and that kind of thing?
It doesn't address a lot of the problems that are currently screwing up the system. Basically, it doesn't address the irrationality of it. It doesn't address the fragmentation. It doesn't address the perverse incentives that are created. It doesn't do anything to control the high cost of unnecessary medical equipment or unnecessary treatment and it doesn't really necessarily guarantee that people will actually be able to get the coverage that they really need or the care that they really need.
Well, I saw
because insurance companies are still standing in the middle.
And I saw, like, some article in the Oregonian just this morning was complaining that catastrophic coverage, people can't get that anymore. So people who were sort of had some kind of catastrophic coverage now have to go for a regular plan, but some of those people can't afford something like that. And then there are still people who won't be covered at all, right?
Yeah, and that's the one of the weirdest things about this is that, you know, supposedly there's this whole system where you'll get a subsidy depending on your income level. But even the most ardent proponents of the systems acknowledge that somewhere between 26 to 40 million people, and the estimates vary pretty widely, will still be uninsured once this rolls out completely.
26%?
No, 26 to 40
million
people.
Oh, well, that's plenty of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, 40 million people is, you know.
Yeah.
The, The other thing I want to point out, I mean, one of the main things wrong with the current system is the competition. You know, Americans think competition is a good thing, but when it comes to healthcare, it's really a bad thing. For example, I mean, we talked about the advertising, which obviously there's still going to be insurance companies competing with each other under Obamacare. There was an article in the Times recently about what hospitals are doing to attract patients. I mean, the hospitals are starting to look like fancy hotels, you know, because that's how you attract patients. Patients don't know from good medical care, you know. I mean, they hope that a hospital has good medical care, but if they have a luxurious waiting room with TV sets and a Starbucks, you know, and that's all money which could be spent on healthcare if we didn't have the insurance companies competing with each other and the hospitals competing with each other.
Right, and the advertising that hospitals are doing and all of that, right?
One of our hopes is that part of this healthcare transformation that Oregon has been particularly out in front of has been the creation of coordinated care organizations, and coordinated care organization is kind of based on a medical home model where the idea is that you have a doctor, a primary care person, could be a doctor, could be a nurse practitioner, depending on what you want, and who works as part of a team with any other care provider that you need, so that everybody is aware of all the care that you're getting, so that you're not, you know, going way over here for one kind of treatment and way over to another place for a different kind, and there's no communication. And we think that's really promising, and we also think that under a publicly funded universal care model, that system will work much better and will be much stronger, because you don't have to figure out, well, how do you, if I as a patient have my primary care person works at Providence, but the occupational therapist that I prefer works for a small, a small practice, or that doesn't have a contract with Providence, but maybe is part of the CCO. You know, how do they even split that payment up? The CCOs haven't even figured that out yet.
Wow.
You know, they haven't figured out how. What if you go to OHSU for one thing, but your main care is delivered through Kaiser? What is that going to look like in terms of who gets money for whatever you do? So the idea of a CCO is that we will have this integrated care where everybody knows what's going on, and you get to work with a team of people who can, you know, meet your needs. Under a publicly funded universal care system, that could be paid for very, very simply and very rationally.
Instantly, yeah. And it's not right now, as you say, it's still very complicated to try to figure that kind of thing out.
Yeah. It limits your choices too.
One little question I had: what happens to all these administrators and stuff if we get a program? What happens to them? There'll be, like, maybe you could even say this, because that's a whole world of people out of work. You know, like, it would be hundreds and thousands of people, right?
Well, I think that is an issue, but most of the single payer bills, the ones in Oregon and the national single payer bill, do talk about retraining and reintegrating these people into healthcare.
All the secretaries and administrative people,
yes,
advertisers.
That's right. I mean, you know, and I think overall there will be jobs available, because we are going to set up a different system, you know, and there'll be people needed. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, maybe I'm not being totally sympathetic, especially to the CEOs with inflated salaries. Their salaries are not really justified. Their jobs now are not providing anything useful for healthcare. I think, you know, we do need to say, we don't want you to do what you're doing now. We need to educate you to do something useful for providing healthcare, rather than just taking our money and paying $40 million to rename the Rose Garden.
Right. Like, right now, it's kind of like dead wood, is what you're saying.
Yes.
And Katie, then you're saying that more people would be getting jobs through small businesses and things like that, because those would be thriving on a higher level if we got single payer?
Right. Well, I mean, I think a lot of people have to work at jobs that provide insurance. They work at jobs that they might not necessarily want to work at because they can get coverage through that. And I think if everybody just had health insurance, then people could work in the fields that they wanted to, where they have the aptitude for, where they're, you know, so.
Uh-huh. So just more jobs for everybody somehow down the road with this.
Exactly.
We hope. And I want to let listeners know again, you're tuned to KBOO Portland. I'm Stephanie Potter. We're here at the Recovery Zone talking about ways that we can heal our world in terms of changing our healthcare system to a universal system. And there are people here in Oregon working on this. My guests right now are Michael Moore, President of Healthcare for All Oregon, Dr. Lee Dolan, former chair of the Oregon Medical Association, and Katie Light, who's also talking about healthcare and business and how that can all work. One of the things going on right now in Oregon is that we have just passed something called the legislature passed a bill to study universal health care. And I mean, we've been trying to get this going for a while. I know that like in 2003, there was maybe an initiative and things have been going on. But does this seem like something that might actually take off? Or what's your hopes for this initiative and what actually happened with it, this bill? What's it about?
The bill is would look at four different options for paying for health care in Oregon. Mm-hmm. A system that would, you know, ideally be as universal as possible. One of the options is a full rollout of the ACA, with Cover Oregon and the expansion of Medicaid. Another option is looking at a provision of the ACA called the Basic Health Plan, which is something that only a few states have been trying to implement so far, and it's something that a lot of people in Oregon are very interested in because it could help with certain problems that the ACA is not going to solve. Like, for example, people, especially at lower income levels, you know, people's income tends to fluctuate. And what's going to happen for a lot of people right now is that, you know, they'll be eligible for 6 months for